First of all, metrical psalm 148 in the first version, verses 1 to 6. Praise God from heavens, praise the Lord in heights, praise to him be. All ye his angels, praise ye him, his hosts all, praise him ye. O praise ye him, both sun and moon, praise him, all stars of light, ye heavens of heavens, him praise, and floods above the heavens' height. And so on to verse 6. Then Psalm 84 and verses 1 to 5. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell, they ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways. And finally, hymn 994. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. Lord Jesus, give us grace on earth to love thee more, in heaven to see thy face, and with thy saints adore. Now let us seek God's face together in prayer. Almighty God, thou eternal and holy and all-glorious one, we come to thee upon the ground of pure grace, because we stand in Christ Jesus, in his righteousness alone, for our acceptance with thee. And we adore thee and worship thee in all thine attributes and perfections. We give thee glory that is thy due from our hearts. Help us, we pray, by the ministry of thy Holy Spirit, that we may truly worship thee, not drawing near to thee outwardly only, and honouring thee with our lips, but our hearts far from thee. Oh, that we may have access and draw right near in the name of thy dear Son, and have all our affections engaged to love thee and praise thee, honour thee, and give thee thy glory. May we say with the psalmist, I love the Lord. Be gracious to us at this hour, and receive us, Lord. Draw near to us. Manifest thyself, that we might know thee, and hear thy voice speaking to us in the word, and that we might be blessed together from where we gather in our homes this evening. Oh, that we might above all else know thy presence with us there, and that thou wilt dwell with us. Thy word says that thy blessing is upon the habitations of the just. May each of our households be as a little church, a true sanctuary, where thou art found, and where thou wilt meet with us right now as we call upon thee and as we hear thy word. Speak to us, apply it in blessing, make it fruitful in our lives, and prepare us and fit us for tomorrow and the coming week. May we know thy help and strength for each day, thy loving presence, the providence that touches everything that touches us in life, and may we be wonderfully helped through. Teach us to prove thy faithfulness in all thy promises. And grant, dear Lord, that we shall discover how great and gracious thou art, our Father in heaven, a gracious God and Father to us, in the covenant of thy love. Pardon all our latest sins through Jesus' precious blood. Cleanse our very conscience. Set everything right. Bless thy church here, Lord, each one of us in the fellowship. Remember us each one, and be with all the churches of Christ. Bless our nation. Speak, dear Lord, in these days. Bring thy word to bear. Make thyself known, we beseech thee, and fulfill all the pleasure of thy will in this great burden of the coronavirus still upon us. And yet, Lord, mercy is in it, as we thank thee for the vaccination program. And we pray, Lord, that restrictions may be lifted soon, safely and permanently. And dear Lord, we pray that the nation will not go back to its sinning, but oh, that it might come back to God. Oh Lord, speak, we beseech thee. We are helpless in this. It must be thine arm alone that accomplishes such a great and glorious work. But we commend all to thee and pray that thou wilt have honor and glory and fulfill all thy purposes. Hear our prayer, send forth thy gospel throughout this day, and grant that many shall be saved, and thy kingdom shall advance, and thy name shall be glorified. Hear us now as we ask all in Jesus' name for thy glory and praise. Amen. Now our reading is from the book of Psalms and Psalm 84. The 84th psalm, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. This has been called the Pearl of Psalms. It was probably composed by David. The atmosphere and spirit is very like David. Spurgeon says, it exhales a Davidic perfume. In this psalm, David expresses his longing to be in the house of God. It's rather like a psalm that we know was written by David. It's Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It is clear that something was keeping David from attendance at God's worship. Perhaps it was the early days when he was being pursued by Saul and his men, in danger of his life. Perhaps it was later during the rebellion of Absalom, his son, when he had to flee from Jerusalem and keep clear of him for his safety. Couldn't get to the worship of God there. It was maybe at another time when he was out in the open field, engaging with an enemy army in battle, kept from Jerusalem. But whatever the reason, it's clear that there is a painful longing. There is a pining to be where God is in his house. And in that longing, he expresses his love for God's house and the worship there in the most ardent terms. Verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Amiable meaning lovely, beloved. You notice he doesn't say just how amiable, because he cannot. Sometimes when we can't actually express something particularly, we say, how much? In the verse of the metrical psalm, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me, the tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. Such a love for God's church will always be an evidence of grace in a true believer. You cannot have someone truly converted and a real Christian without the God-given and accompanying love for where he is worshipped, where his word is preached, where his people gather. It is true that come the Lord's Day, we might not always feel a longing to be in church. The flesh has a longing to stay in bed. But we don't indulge the flesh. We are to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And so, walking in the Spirit, we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In our better frames, we honestly say, there is no place we would rather be on God's day than in God's house. That is why worshipping online or even live streaming can never be quite the same. At the moment, we have to do it this way, partially. And I know that some people are always confined to their home and cannot get out to church, perhaps for physical reasons. And the Lord understands that, and the Lord makes it up to them abundantly, I am quite sure. But we who can come, and everyone who would be able to come if they could, would feel like the psalmist, wouldn't they? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Let us consider this ardent longing. And let us notice, first of all, where. Verses 1 and 2. Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, the courts of the Lord. If this is in David's time, then God's house would have been a very simple affair, something like the tabernacle in the wilderness. We're told in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 17 that when David brought the ark to Jerusalem, they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. So we presume it was something like the original tabernacle in Moses' time. You'll notice the plural, thy tabernacles. And we find it again expressed like that in Psalm 43, which is really a companion to Psalm 42 that we mentioned earlier, David longing to be in the house of God. Psalm 43, verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Why tabernacles in the plural when there was only one tabernacle? Well, because there were various parts to that tabernacle. There was the outer court, and then there was the holy place, the first part inside, and then there was the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And what David is saying is every part of God's house is dear. And he thinks about it from this distance for the amiable tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. It's as if he is imagining what it looks like and how the worshippers are gathering in the outer courts and how the priests are ministering inside that house of God. It's rather like Paul in Colossians 2 and verse 3, where he is away from that city. He's never met the Colossian Christians, but he says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He's imagining them assembling in Philemon's house in Colossae, thanking the Lord for the order in the worship and the organization of that small company. It's what we do, isn't it, when we can't get to church, if we're ill in bed and we think about the time of the service, 10:30, and then we imagine seeing our fellow members coming in through the door and taking their places in their various seats, and we are with them in spirit and we pray along with them and hope for blessing through the word. And this is all the expression of something we love and something we miss when we cannot have it. Where? And you see, as David expresses this more fully, we see that something gracious is here. He mentions in verse 1 the tabernacles of the Lord of hosts. He calls God that, O Lord of hosts. Hosts meaning armies, war. But this word also means angels. In Psalm 148, verse 2, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. There are hosts of angels. And in the tabernacle, if you recall, on the veil, on the curtain that separated the different parts, there were cherubim embroidered. And either end of the mercy seat in the most holy place were two cherubim facing each other, looking down upon the mercy seat. O Lord of hosts of angels were present there in the house of God. And of course, the very mention of this is a gracious thing. Why? Because angels remind us of the momentous change that has happened to all who now come into God's house and draw near for worship. At the beginning, you see, the angels were at war with us, weren't they? They were the hosts of God that were ranged against us as our enemies, because God was our enemy. You remember in Genesis 3, after the fall, God expelled our first parents from the Garden of Eden, and there were two cherubim with flaming swords guarding the way, no way back, to signify that God was against sinners. Angels are against sinners. Ah, but now, O Lord of hosts, angels, God is reconciled to us and our friend. Angels are our friends as well. They're part of the very fabric of the house of God. They're present there now. You see it typified in the case of Jacob in Genesis 28 and verse 12. He sees the ladder set up on earth whose top reaches to heaven, and a gracious God making promises to him. And this ladder is Christ, and the angels are going up and down on it to show that the angels are our friends. Remember, angels were at the empty tomb of our Lord and saying to the women, "Fear not ye, ye seek Jesus." Angels are with us, toward us, as our friends, and they are present in the assemblies of God's people. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 10, "For this cause should female worshippers cover their heads, to signify their position respecting the men, because of the angels." Just like the Apostle Paul delighted to see the order in the worship at Colossae, so angels are present, delighting to see the order in every church assembly. And when there is obedience to Scripture, and when we comply with God's word, angels are pleased, just like God is pleased. And you see, don't think we leave them behind when we go home. They go home with us, because we are in the charge of angels, aren't we? Hebrews 1 verse 14, "They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation." He gives his angels charge over us, to keep us in all our ways. They're present here, and they go with us to our homes, and go with us into the week, ever that escort, ever that body of ones who are our minders and our cortege, our retinue, who look after us and keep us safe, like VIPs are looked after in this world. But we are the VIPs of heaven and are in the charge of these heavenly attendants, present in the assemblies. O Lord of hosts, you see the supernatural, the divine, the heavenly in the church of God. No wonder David says how amiable it is and why he misses it so much. But then, you see, this anticipates the access that we enjoy, the greater access we enjoy in gospel times. Notice he says in verse 2, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord." That's as far as ordinary worshippers could go, the outer court. They couldn't go into the holy place. That's only for the priests. Certainly couldn't go into the most holy place. That was for the high priest once a year. Ah, but how wonderful it is, dear friends, for us. We are not restricted to the outer courts. We can come right in. We have access. In Hebrews 9 and verse 24, we're told that our Lord has gone into heaven itself. which is the fulfillment of the high priest going right up to the mercy seat in the most holy place, presenting the blood and offering prayer. But our great high priest has gone into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. And he brings all of us with him, so that we too can go there in spirit now. We have the access unto the Father. Hebrews 4 verse 16, let us come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace. What a wonderful access, dear friends. We can come right into the presence of the Most High. Access into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This was, of course, promised by our Lord, wasn't it, in John 4 to the Samaritan lady, when he said, the hour is coming, and now is, when we will not worship the Father in this mountain Gerizim, or even in Jerusalem, not restricted to holy places, not dependent upon an earthly arrangement for some kind of access. No, no. They that worship the Father shall worship him in spirit and in truth, by the Holy Spirit encouraging us in our access to the Father, and in truth, regulated by Holy Scripture, so that it's biblical worship, but not dependent on any earthly tabernacle. Anywhere we meet, where'er men seek thee, thou art found, and every place is holy ground. Access in gospel days. How blessed we are, dear friends. It's as if God says to us, come right near. The way is open. I've opened it through my beloved Son. Come near, my heart is open to you. Come near, my arms are open to you. Come right near and know me. I am the Lord of hosts. These are my tabernacles now. And one further thing as to where, it hints at the temporariness of the church in this world, doesn't it? Verse 1, thy tabernacles, the tabernacle, tent, was a temporary structure. And of course, the church is only for a time in this world, isn't it? We're thankful for it all our days and all the centuries of time. But ah, dear friends, there's a day coming when the entire world will be the church of God. It won't be that we will be part of the world and the minority for this while, because 2 Peter 3 and verse 13, there will be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And at our Lord's coming, the resurrection of the body, the final judgment, and then the earth and the universe purged by fire and completely cleansed and restored. Not another world, but this world. But restored and made more glorious than it was in the time of the Garden of Eden before man fell. And then, dear friends, it'll all be the church, because all that will be there will be God's people. Righteousness. And as we read in Revelation 21, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Ah, dear friends, you look out now, and we are a little company compared to the millions and millions around us who have no thought of God today and wouldn't come to a place of worship even if they could. I tell you, it'll be the other way round. In fact, it'll be more than the other way round. Ultimately, there'll be no ungodly at all, and Christians will be not just the majority, they will be everything then. The new heavens and the new earth, the great universal worldwide church, that will be only that, heaven and earth as one. Paradise, paradise. Ah, it's only for a while like this. But you see that coming to the means of grace gives you the hope of glory. And you anticipate how it will be universally at the end, at the great consummation. We meet here weekly that we may be gathered together eternally when that great and new world comes to pass. This same world, but wholly renewed and glorious forever. That's where. Let's look secondly at the other point. Who? Verse 2. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. More than for the place, you see. It's for the Lord himself. Yes, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, and my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, but my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God most of all. You remember Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. And so we're reminded that coming to church alone will not satisfy. The living God. It's the one we meet here, isn't it? God in Christ, infinitely more amiable than the tabernacles in the world. Oh, living Christians must have the living God. You can't be satisfied with less. There may be many who go to places of worship and do their duty, say, once on Sunday, and that's it. They salve their conscience. They think they're Christians. They think all is well. Well, hypocrites and formalists may be satisfied with that. But living Christians will never be. We must have the living God. We're born again. We're akin to God. We're partakers of the divine nature. In our new birth, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, nothing less can satisfy. Oh, we must have that access to God that I mentioned, that is typified here, illustrated here. Ephesians 2 verse 18, access unto the Father through Christ by one Holy Spirit. This gives us God, doesn't it? It's here especially that we meet with him. That's why we love the place, because we meet with the God whom we love in this place. It's true that we meet with him anywhere, at any time of the week, in our personal devotions, and out and about wherever. But God has promised us a special rendezvous in the appointed place, his house. And not only, dear friends, do you get this access and this knowing God, but you get heaven opened. The Lord of hosts, the angels. And because of his presence and the angels' presence, heaven comes down and is here. This is the house of God and the gate of heaven. And it's God's purpose to give us a touch of glory sometimes. I read this week of a little testimony of someone who attended God's house and knew something of this. This is what he wrote. One day I sat in a church. The minister gave out the second psalm, and the large congregation present began to sing, "Yet notwithstanding I have him, to be my king appointed, and over Sion, my holy hill, I have him king appointed." As these words were being sung, eternity seemed to touch my spirit. What we call the time barrier seemed for a moment to dissolve. I felt I could see through the vistas of future ages. It was as if I had entered another world, a world of unspeakable peace. All the confusions, conflicts, noise, and hatreds which distress our present world had passed away. All opposition to God in his moral rule and in the government of his grace had ceased. All hostile voices were forever silenced. Heaven opened, something of the bliss and glory of that upper world coming down to us. You'll never get nearer heaven than in the assembly of God's people. And you see, the living God, a personal meeting with him, a gracious God in Christ, our Father, our best and heavenly friend. When we have met with him here, in the worship, in the hearing of his word, his presence is known. And it's such a humbling experience. It's a calming experience. It's a sweetening thing. It's uplifting. It's comforting. It's sanctifying. There's a sacred joy. And we say with the psalmist, "I love the Lord." I was thinking of those words of our Lord in Matthew 18, where he says, "Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them." And I thought to myself, could Jesus be in the midst of us without making himself known? What would be the point? It's not just a presence, is it? It's a manifestation. He's here in order that we might know him and that we might be blessed by that knowledge of his presence. The living God, God in Christ, like Thomas, to fall down before him in our hearts and say, "My Lord and my God." Again, this is a riddle to the world, isn't it? Non-Christians couldn't understand why we come together in order to meet with him. As one has put it, the world cries out against the people of the Lord as enthusiastic and absurd, for they cannot by any means conceive how a person should lose all relish for carnal delights and find all his happiness in doing things where they see nothing but restraint and melancholy. But indeed there is a delight in communion with a reconciled God, an ineffable joy with which the stranger intermeddleth not. Ah, dear friends, he will satisfy that hunger if he has created it, if he brings it forth by his Spirit on the Lord's day. Will he not come to us? And will he not reveal himself? Will he not speak to us so that we go away having met with the God we love? We read that precious verse, Proverbs 10, verse 24, "The desire of the righteous shall be granted." Do you desire God? Do you long to meet with one who is your heavenly Father? Do you say, "Sir, we would see Jesus"? Is the Lord going to raise up desires like that, only to leave them unfulfilled? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, yes, for the courts of the Lord, but my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. What do you need God to be to you today, this evening hour, to prepare you for tomorrow and going back into the world, as it were? What do you need him to be? Do you need a father? He is your heavenly Father who knoweth. And he will love you and care for you and provide for you. Do you need a comforter? Well, he can put the arms of his love around you. And he can draw you close. And he can manifest his love to you to put strength in your heart. Do you need a protector? Well, God is your shield and your exceeding great reward. He'll keep you from the fiery darts of the wicked and from temptations and attacks and persecution and everything. The Lord compasses the righteous round about with favor, as with a shield, the psalmist says. Do you need a provider? He'll supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you need a deliverer? He'll come in for you, and he'll either deliver you in the trial or he'll deliver you out of it, one way or the other. God will be enough for you, and you'll find everything in God. Your heart and flesh crying out for the living God will meet a living God who will come to you and satisfy you with his goodness. Do you come to church, or do you listen online with such desires as these? Prepare yourself beforehand by prayer and ask that above all else, better than the place even, better than the Lord's people, our people, best of all, look for this, that you meet with God and be blessed with nothing less than the Lord himself. The house of God, the God of the house. This is where we come. This is who we look for. May he grant us these things. And may this psalm be our psalm. And may we taste and know these blessed things, longings and fulfillment of the longings, until they are forever fulfilled in that better world in the church above. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come to thee again, and we thank thee for the place where thine honour dwelleth, and we love this place, and we love thee. Be everything to us, Lord, we long for thee to be, and bless our souls and bless our lives, and be with us always, we pray. Make thy word fruitful, save precious souls, edify thy own people, build thy church and advance thy kingdom today. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.